Hebrews chapter 11. And our text will be found in verses 5 and 6. The Scripture says, "By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, the title of the message is "The Faith That Pleased God." Scripture says, "By faith, Enoch was translated." Now, this message is, first I have to preface this, because what the apostle is doing here is he is showing us, first of all, he gives the definition of faith. He said, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And now, by these examples, by these men in Old Testament times, these elders that obtained a good report, the apostle is going to show us certain aspects of faith, certain benefits of faith. And the first one he shows us was Abel's faith. He said that by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. And so Abel's faith in offering a blood sacrifice according to the Word of God shows forth justification by faith. Justification of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing we learn about faith. When a man believes in Christ, he's justified. He's justified before God. As Paul says in the conclusion of his matter on justification by faith in Romans, in chapter 5, he concludes what he had said in chapter 4. In chapter 5, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And seeing that we all have sinned and missed the mark of God's holy perfection, seeing none are righteous by nature, none can be justified by the law, Christ having obtained righteousness by His own faith and obedience, and having obtained redemption for His people, the only way by which we as sinners may be made righteous before God is through this matter of faith in Christ." Faith in Christ. Now, when I say you're justified by faith, we know this. Your faith does not justify you. It's God that justified you. It's God that justified you. "Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again." You see, his death, his righteousness, and his resurrection is the cause of our justification. Now, faith is something by which we receive the justification. And so we are justified rather by the object of our faith, Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we were justified by His faith in God, by His faith, and we are justified in the experience of it by believing in Christ. Our justification was decreed by God, obtained by Christ, and imputed and imparted to us by faith. Let's see that in Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God." Notice how the righteousness is obtained. "By faith of Jesus Christ." Not faith in Jesus Christ, but the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. You see, then faith was obtained, righteousness was obtained by Jesus Christ, and it is imputed then and imparted to us by this matter of believing. And so Paul uses Abraham in that passage in Romans 4, and he explains Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now, for you and I are justified by faith without the deeds of the law, and being justified by faith, listen, we have peace with God. That's what Paul concludes. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, that's important, isn't it? Have peace with God. You hear men say this, and it's like you might as well just slap me when people say it. I've made my peace with God. If you've made your peace with God, you have no peace with God. You see, peace with God is only made by Jesus Christ. And we only receive it through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, then that's what the text of Abel proves. Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice. He, by faith, offered the sacrifice God commanded, which pictured Christ. He believed in the coming of Christ. He believed on Christ. Therefore, by faith, he was justified. He had that testimony, that witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gift. Now then, we come to our text. And now we're going to see something else about faith. It says, by faith, Enoch was translated. Translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Now, the history of this man, Enoch, is very short. He's the seventh generation from Adam. He's not the seventh one from Adam, but seventh generation from Adam. And this man, the scripture says that he walked with God. If you read that in Genesis chapter 5, it says he walked with God and was not, for God took him. Very short. Very short time. He walked with God and was not. Now what Paul, in other words, when it says God took him in Genesis 5, that's what Paul means by translated. He translated him. God took him so that he should not die. But in a moment, Enoch was translated. He was his corruption put on incorruption. His mortal put on immortality. And God raised him without dying. That's what it means. Very miraculous thing. It only happened to two people. Two people, and that was this man, Enoch, and Elijah, are the only two that I know of that were translated without seeing death. In other words, this, what happened to Enoch? What happened to Enoch will happen then to every one of us who believe on Christ. Do you not get that? Every one of us will be translated. We will be changed. We will be, our corruption must put on incorruption. Our mortal must put on immortality. And this will happen at the resurrection. At the resurrection. And what was the testimony that he had then before this miraculous event? Before his translation? It was this. Before he was translated, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That he pleased God. Therefore, we may clearly see that these two are the same thing then. Walking with God and experiencing the favor and presence of God. Of necessity, we must be at peace with God. You cannot walk with God unless you're at peace with God. You cannot walk with God unless you please God. The Scriptures declare, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You cannot walk with God, you cannot please God, except you have peace with God, unless you're in agreement together. Now, Enoch was not a sinless man. He was a son of Adam just like we are. He was a son. This is why he needed to be translated. Because he was a sinner. He was a sinner just like we are. And therefore we know his pleasing God did not come by his works or self-righteousness. as false religion would have you believe. False religion would have you believe that translation comes by the works of the flesh. That our peace with God, our walk with God, comes by our obedience to the law or by moral character. These liars, they preach that we can, by our own self-righteousness and personal obedience, achieve some enlightened state. That's what they believe. That we, by our change in character or habits, might come closer to God. Walk closer to God. That they might feel His presence in the flesh and become by their works and personal righteousness at peace with God. Now, Enoch was a truly miraculous and unique thing that happened to him that will not happen to most of God's people. There will be some in the resurrection that will experience what Enoch experienced. But notice his testimony that he pleased God was not in his translation, but rather by his faith. His faith, he pleased God. By faith, Enoch was translated, and he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, Enoch pleased God by faith. By faith. Enoch pleased God while he was here upon the earth. The same way that every child of God may be pleasing in the sight of God. And that is faith in Jesus Christ. This morning, do you desire to please God? Because you can't walk with Him unless you please Him. You can't walk with Him unless you please Him. Except you and God be in agreement, you cannot walk together. How then can a man walk with God? Only through faith in Jesus Christ. Now I tell you that it is better to do good than evil. Isn't it? We know this. We know it's the will of God that we walk upright, that we love one another, do good works, take care of those that have need, feed the hungry, clothe the naked, encourage those who are weak. Read the Word, study, pray, worship God. But listen, none of these can please God. You can do all these things to the best of your ability, and by them you will never please God. When have you ever prayed enough? When have you ever worshipped enough? Listen, when have you ever believed enough? When have you ever loved enough to please God? If you are trusting in any of these things, you will never please God. You will never walk with God. If you are trusting in these things, you have made a covenant, not with God, but with death and with hell, and God will disannul that covenant when you see Him. He will disannul it. The Scriptures are not ambiguous, as I've said before, they're very plain. You listen, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this is not just any faith. This is not faith in your faith, but rather faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. For we do none of these things for righteousness. We who believe in Christ, we look to none of our works to please God or to give us favor to walk with Him in peace. There is nothing that we can do to earn that. And only true believers recognize this. Only those who are quickened by the Spirit recognize our inability to please God, our absolute, complete, utter ruin and inability to satisfy the justice of God by any merits of the flesh. Therefore, we look by faith to Jesus Christ, and only in Him are we able then to please God. Only by looking to Him. By faith in Christ, we receive the peace and favor of God which Jesus alone, our substitute, has provided. You see, salvation is something altogether worked outside of us. Salvation was something wrought of God, all of God. It's God who purposed it. God purposed the salvation of His people. He purposed that you should be holy. I like this. You know, one person had a difficulty with the matter of election. And she said, I didn't understand it. And one pastor said, well, it's very simple. Did God save you on accident or on purpose? Well, on purpose. Well, now you understand election. You understand election. It's not complicated, is it? God didn't save you on accident. He saved you on purpose. He designed it. He planned it. He purposed it. And Christ Jesus accomplished it. Salvation is not complicated to understand. Jesus provided all the righteousness God demanded, and His death provided all of the sacrifice God required for our sins. And now the Holy Spirit comes in application. That's totally outside of us. We weren't looking for God. We weren't. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. What were we doing? We were blind, wandering out there somewhere in the wilderness, thinking all the while we were okay, but lost and blind and dead. And God, the Holy Spirit, came and He quickened us. All outside of us. All outside of us. Salvation's outside of us. And then God, by grace, wrought salvation in us. One of my favorite messages I've heard, a man named Peter Minny preached it, Surprised by Grace. You know, everyone who's saved is surprised. You know that? We weren't looking for it, we weren't asking for it. God gave it to us. We didn't earn it, we didn't merit it, we didn't wrought it ourselves. God gave it to us. He came and He said, here, it's yours. And what'd you do? Yes, it's mine. Yes, it's mine. And you received it. You received it. That's faith. Faith in Christ receives what God has purposed, what Christ has wrought. Believer, I know this, that often you are troubled by your sin, by the weakness of your own flesh. Your eyes stray from Christ. Your affections are cold. You begin to look at this world, at your circumstances, at your own heart. You know what you find when you do that? You find no standing. You find no standing. You're like Peter when he was on the sea. As long as he looked at Christ, he was able to walk freely. The moment he took his eyes off of Christ and looked at the waves and the wind, he began to what? Sink. And so then when you start to sink, believer, what do? You cry. Save. Save. You know, I've been saved for a while, but how many times a day do I say that? Save me. Save me. And you know what He does? He saves me. Every time. Saves me. Always saving. Faith is always looking to Christ. So then set your eyes. Set your eyes of faith firmly on Jesus Christ. For God is always pleased with you. In Him. He is always pleased with you. Well, that's just hard to believe. You bet it's impossible to believe except God give you faith to believe it. He's always pleased with you in Christ. Do you believe that Christ is the Son of God? Have you by faith seen that all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags? That you can never please God? Have you been exposed and stripped and laid bare before the holy bar of God's justice? Have you seen the sentence of death upon your own soul? How many people wonder about somebody else? I'm not asking you to wonder about somebody else. What about you? Don't sit and think, man, I wish so-and-so were here to hear this. No, you should hear this. You should hear this. Are you exposed? Have you fled to Christ for refuge? To lay hold on that hope set before you. I'm setting before you. Here he is. Setting before you. Every time I preach, I set him before you. Lay hold on him. That's what faith is. Faith receives. Say, faith lay hold. Lays hold on Christ. Please to Christ for refuge. Come not by your works, not by your religious deeds, not by anything in you, but lay prostrate at His feet. I'm going to tell you this. Salvation's of the Lord. And He gives salvation to whom He will. And whom He will, He passes by. Now what should you do as a sinner with that information? You should lay down at His feet until He gives it to you. All the while confessing that if He never gives it to you, He's right. You should come like blind Bartimaeus came. Jesus, Thou Son of David, give me what I got coming to me. Is that what He said? Have mercy. The leper. You should come like that leper. Lord, if Thou will, You can make me whole. Like that Canaanite woman who said, the Lord said, is it meet to give the children's bread to dogs? And she said, truth. One of my other favorite messages is, all dogs go to heaven. She confessed to be a dog. And if God ever strips you down and gives you this faith I'm talking about, you will confess truth. Even the dogs receive crumbs. Master's table. All of these laid prostrate at His feet. And you know what all of these have in common? They all found mercy. Salvation's of the Lord, He gives it to whom He will. But I guarantee you this, anyone who ever comes in such a manner to Christ, He always gives. I tell you this, if you will not come and you are damned, it'll be your own fault. You should come and lay down at His feet and beg for mercy. All who trust in Christ, He promises this, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so everyone who comes to God by Christ, God said, this is My beloved Son. Listen. In whom I am well pleased. You see, God has united all of His elect by faith. United all of His elect in eternity to Christ. And when Christ came, we were united with Him. But when we were born in this world, we weren't united with Him experimentally. We didn't know anything about Him. We didn't know of our union with Him. But when God comes in power and grace, He gives the experience of salvation. The experience of salvation. And we, by faith, become united with Christ in the inner man. He creates a new man, and that's a union with Christ. And listen, I want you to know this. You who believe, you who trust in Christ, listen, God is well pleased where? In Christ. Not with Christ, but in Christ. And if you are a believer in Christ, you are united to Him. You are in union with Him. He is the head, and you are His body. That's how much in union you are with Him. Therefore, if God is well pleased in Christ, He is also well pleased with those who are in Christ by faith. Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? This is only evidenced by faith, which was showed by Enoch. Enoch pleased God. How? By faith. By faith. He pleased God. Not by his works, but by his faith in Christ. So Paul says, without faith, then, it is impossible to please him. So then, only believers in Christ, only those who are quickened by the Spirit, born again of the power and will of God, only these please God and are able to walk with Him in peace. In peace. Now then, I'm going to give you some things that what happened to Enoch has also happened to us in some measure. This translation of Enoch, I want you to see that in part, at least at this point, we have all had some experience in this translation. And says that by faith Enoch was translated. And I tell you, you who believe, you by faith have been translated. You've been translated. Not in the full measure of the resurrection as of yet, which you will. Now, these two men, Elijah and Enoch, they received translation that they should not taste death. They were resurrected before they had ever died. And I'll tell you, believer, that is part of our inheritance. We too shall not die. You got that? Our Lord said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall not die. Believest thou this? Well, that's hard to believe. Well, it's impossible except God give you grace. Now, this body is going to the ground, but I'm not going to die. And neither are you. Neither are you. The body may die, but we're going to be in heaven. And one day, our body too will be translated. It will come up from the grave. It will be translated from corruption, from corruption to incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. And death shall be swallowed up in victory. So we have that in common. We're going to be just like Enoch. So there's nothing he received that we who believe on Christ will not receive. Now then, secondly, we've also been translated in this way. We've been translated from death to life, haven't we? We've been translated. Every believer in Christ has been translated by God spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. and hath raised us up together with Christ, and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show forth the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. Now that's all that salvation that happened outside of us. That's what He did. We were in union with Christ. We died with Christ. We rose with Christ. But God willing to show this. He's going to show this to us. How? It's manifest by this. We're saved by grace through faith. And that not of yourself. What's not of yourself? Faith is not of yourself. It, faith, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. See then, we have this same witness, this same testimony of Enoch, that we believe God, that we trust in Christ, and we have been translated from death to life. Second of all, we've been translated from darkness to light. Paul said, you who were sometimes darkness. Not you were in darkness, you were darkness. You were darkness. You were groping about in the dark trying to find some satisfaction, some hope, and finding none. We were blind and dead to the knowledge of Christ. And the Scripture says, man by nature, it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. Is this foolishness to you? Well, it's because you're a natural man. You can't receive these things. Neither can he know them, because he's spiritually discerned. The gospel of Christ is to the lost man a mystery. Paul said, we speak the gospel in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God in a mystery. Things the princes of the world did not know. They could not know. And yet, how do you know them? Because God hath freely given them to you. Freely given them to you. You have been translated from darkness to light. Now you see. Now you see. Scripture tells us that in 2 Corinthians, it tells us that God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, you who know Christ, you who believe on Christ, you have been translated. Now, I know this. You don't think you know all things, but you do. You know all things. If you know Christ, you know all things. Now, you don't know Him like you want to know Him, but you do know Him. And I tell you, this knowledge is not common knowledge. This light is not common light. Man by nature does not see the things of God. And this is the testimony that Enoch had, that he pleased God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe that God is? I know this. God is manifest in the flesh. I know this. Our God died for our sins in the flesh. I know that He's risen from the dead, and I know this, one day He is coming to finish this work that He started in me. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I know that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, I only seek Him because He gave me grace to succeed, to seek Him. And I know this, He'll finish the work. Have you believed on the Son of God? Because without faith, it is impossible to believe God. Now, I'm going to close with four practical things concerning this faith. four practical things concerning faith. Since faith is the only way to please God, and it's only faith in Christ that pleases God, how can you obtain faith? Is that not a practical question? How does one obtain faith? If that's the only way to please God, how can I have it? Do you desire to have faith? How can one obtain this? I tell you this, not by any works of the flesh. You won't merit it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. It's a free gift of God's grace. It's free. Can't add anything to it. The minute you add something to it, you defile it and it's all worthless. Faith is something God must give. Jesus said this Himself. This is the work of God. You want to know what the work of God is? Here it is. That you believe on Him whom He has sent. How can one obtain faith? It's only obtained by grace. The grace and power of God to give it. And so then, do you desire faith? Maybe you should go to the one that gives it. Seek it. And I've told you, God is gracious. God is gracious. Second of all, do I have saving faith? That's a question, isn't it? You who believe, I know it plagues you often because your faith is weak. Your faith is so small at times. And I know it plagues you. How do you know you have saving faith? Well, man's faith is only as good as the object of his faith. If your object is yourself, you have no good faith. It's not real faith. You have an object in your works. If that's your faith in your works, it's no good faith. The only assurance that a man could have is by looking at the object of his faith. You desire assurance? Stop looking at yourself and look to Christ. Is He successful? Then you have real faith if He is your object. That's how you know you have saving faith. And you know what? You may know this. Some people say, well, you can't know this until... John didn't say that. He said, that you may know. That you may know that you have faith, that you believe on the Son of God, that you may know. You desire to know? Then look to Christ. Well, I don't know. Well, look to Christ. And all who look to Christ have true saving faith. And last, what will be the end of all true faith? The same as Enoch. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Scott will be translated. By faith, J.D. will be translated. By faith, you'll be translated. That's the end. We will have exactly what our brother had. He's not getting away with anything we ain't going to get. It's part of our inheritance. He may have received a little early, but we're all going there. Who? Those who please God. How? By faith. And how do you walk then? How do you continue to walk until you receive it? You walk by faith. You walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. And we who live by faith have this testimony. We please God. May God give you joy in your heart for that. In Christ you please God. I pray God bless this to you. Stand, be dismissed.